HiBridge, a division of Recorded Books, presents Your Type 2 Diabetes Action Plan, Tips, Techniques, and Practical Advice for Living Well with Diabetes by American Diabetes Association and Kate Reuter, read by Randy Kay. The suggestions and information contained in this publication are generally consistent with the standard of medical care in diabetes and other policies of the American Diabetes Association, but they do not represent the policy or position of the association or any of its boards or committees. Reasonable steps have been taken to ensure the accuracy of the information presented. However, the American Diabetes Association cannot ensure the safety or efficacy of any product or service described in this publication. Individuals are advised to consult a physician or other appropriate healthcare professional before undertaking any diet or exercise program or taking any medication referred to in this publication. Professionals must use and apply their own professional judgment, experience, and training, and should not rely solely on the information contained in this publication before prescribing any diet, exercise, or medication. The American Diabetes Association, its officers, directors, employees, volunteers, and members assumes no responsibility or liability for personal or other injury, loss, or damage that may result from the suggestions or information in this publication. Chapter 1. About Diabetes. Here we'll dig into the basics of diabetes, including the roles of insulin and glucose. You'll find out about different types of diabetes and different people who have diabetes. In this chapter, you'll also learn about diagnostic tests and risk factors for you and your family. Most importantly, discover how a diabetes care plan can help you take charge of your diabetes. What's inside? What is diabetes? What is insulin? Insulin and glucose. Types of diabetes. Prevalence of diabetes. Diagnosing diabetes. Risk factors for type 2 diabetes. Diabetes care plan. What is diabetes? You've heard the word diabetes. Probably you or someone in your family or a friend has diabetes. But what does it really mean? There are different types of diabetes, with type 1 and type 2 diabetes being the most common forms. Diabetes shares a common thread: the body's inability to make insulin or use insulin properly, or a combination of both. Okay, so insulin is a key player in diabetes, but what exactly is insulin? What is insulin? Insulin is a hormone that our body produces in the pancreas. We use insulin to do lots of amazing things in our bodies, but one of its main jobs is to help us convert the food that we eat into forms of energy that are stored. Our body can use this stored energy later when we might need it. Insulin and glucose. Insulin does not work alone. In fact, insulin works closely with a sugar called glucose to make our bodies run smoothly. After we eat, our body turns that cinnamon raisin bagel or fish taco into smaller building blocks of nutrients. One of those building blocks is called glucose. Glucose travels into our bloodstream to different cells. Here's the catch. Our body needs insulin to help glucose get into some of the necessary cells. Without insulin, glucose can't do its job of saving energy for our bodies. Insulin and glucose work together to create stored energy, which is so essential for our bodies. In diabetes, our body can't make or use insulin properly, and things go awry. Stored energy may be broken down into too much fuel at a time when we don't need it. Types of diabetes. There are several different types of diabetes, but the two most common types of diabetes are type 1 and type 2. Scientists distinguish the different types of diabetes by what tends to happen inside our bodies in terms of insulin and glucose. In type 1 diabetes, your body destroys the cells in your pancreas, beta cells that make insulin. Sometimes this destruction can happen quite quickly. This is why you may have heard about a child or adult rushed to the hospital and diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. Other times, the destruction occurs more slowly, such as in adults with latent autoimmune diabetes called LADA. In general, people with type 1 diabetes cannot make enough insulin. In type 2 diabetes, your body may have problems with the beta cells that make insulin or problems with the cells that receive insulin to do their jobs, or both. In other words, your body doesn't make enough insulin and your body isn't as sensitive to insulin or a combination. The good news is that many people with type 2 diabetes are able to boost their production or sensitivity to insulin by making healthy lifestyle changes or taking medications. Therefore, you can do something about your diabetes. Some women get diabetes when they become pregnant, which is called gestational diabetes. It usually goes away after pregnancy, but you are more likely to have it with future pregnancies. Also, women with gestational diabetes are more likely to develop type 2 diabetes later. If you have gestational diabetes, you'll work with your healthcare provider to manage your diabetes during your pregnancy to keep you and your baby healthy. Diabetes worldwide. Around the world, 382 million people had diabetes in 2013. Type 2 diabetes appears to be increasing in every country. Source: International Diabetes Federation. Prediabetes. Some people have higher than normal blood glucose that is not high enough to be considered diabetes. It is called prediabetes. Half of Americans 65 and older have prediabetes, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC. People with prediabetes may not have any symptoms. Yet it's important to diagnose people with prediabetes because these people are at high risk for someday developing diabetes, and studies show that making changes to diet and exercise and even taking medication can delay diabetes in these patients. Prevalence of diabetes. The vast majority of people with diabetes have type 2 diabetes. About 90 to 95% of people with diabetes have type 2, while 5 to 10% of people with diabetes have type 1. You are not alone with your diabetes. In fact, over 9.3% of Americans have diabetes. That means 29.1 million people have diabetes in the United States, according to CDC estimates from 2014. These numbers are just estimates. We don't really know. In fact, many people have diabetes but don't know it. Roughly 8.1 million, or 27.8% of the 29.1 million people with diabetes in the U.S. are undiagnosed. Probably, if you're listening to this book, you have diabetes or know someone who has diabetes, and you want to do something about it. Who should be tested for diabetes? Adults who are overweight with a body mass index, BMI, equal to or greater than 25 kilograms per square meters or 23 kilograms per square meters in Asian Americans, and additional risk factors, such as a family history of diabetes, not being active, high blood pressure, or a history of cardiovascular disease. Anyone 45 years of age or older. If negative, test should be repeated at least every 3 years. Diagnosing diabetes. You may have heard the term blood glucose when you were first diagnosed. Your healthcare provider may have taken a blood sample and run a test on your blood that indicated that you have diabetes. There are several tests that providers use: A1C, fasting plasma glucose, 2-hour plasma glucose, or random plasma glucose. Now, those are a mouthful. The important thing to remember is that all these tests give a measurement of the glucose in your blood. A higher amount of blood glucose indicates that you may have diabetes. Tests for diagnosing diabetes. A1C greater than or equal to 6.5. Fasting plasma glucose greater than or equal to 126 milligrams per deciliter. 2-hour plasma glucose greater than or equal to 200 milligrams per deciliter. Random plasma glucose greater than or equal to 200 milligrams per deciliter in patients with symptoms of high blood glucose. Tests for prediabetes. Fasting plasma glucose, 100 to 125 milligrams per deciliter. Impaired glucose tolerance, 2-hour plasma glucose after a 75-gram oral glucose tolerance test of 140 to 199 milligrams per deciliter. A1C of 5.7 to 6.4. A1C. Short for hemoglobin A1C. Hemoglobin is the part of our red blood cell that carries oxygen. When it attaches to glucose, it becomes glycosylated. Scientists measure the amount of glycosylated hemoglobin to then give a picture of your average blood glucose over 2 to 3 months. Risk factors for type 2 diabetes. No one knows for sure what causes type 2 diabetes, yet we know that certain things put people at higher risk for diabetes. Age, a family history of diabetes, being overweight, race and ethnicity, prediabetes, and having diabetes during pregnancy. Age. Your risk of developing diabetes increases with age. Therefore, everyone 45 or older should be regularly tested for diabetes every 3 years. Family history. A family history of diabetes is a risk factor because people who have parents or siblings with diabetes are more likely to have diabetes themselves. Your father or mother or grandmother or grandfather may have passed on genes that put you at higher risk for diabetes. No one has found a diabetes gene, and in fact, scientists imagine that a complex set of genes and interactions are at work. Weight. Being overweight is also a risk factor for diabetes. People who are overweight cannot use insulin as effectively, which is called insulin resistance. The body tries to make up for this resistance by making more and more insulin to try to move glucose out of the blood and into cells. Over time, the pancreas sometimes cannot keep up, and glucose in the blood rises. The shape of your body or where you carry extra weight can also be a risk factor for diabetes. For example, people with an apple body shape, in which you carry weight above your belt, are at higher risk for diabetes. Race, ethnicity. Your race and ethnicity also play a role in diabetes. African Americans, Latinos, Native Americans, and Asians are more likely to develop diabetes than non-Hispanic whites. Prediabetes. Remember prediabetes from before? People with prediabetes are more likely to develop type 2 diabetes than people without prediabetes. Gestational diabetes. Women who had diabetes during pregnancy are 7 times more likely to develop type 2 diabetes than women who did not have diabetes during pregnancy. Their babies may also have a higher risk for being overweight and developing type 2 diabetes when they grow up. Blood pressure. People with high blood pressure are more likely to have type 2 diabetes, so this is a risk factor as well. Some risk factors are unchangeable: your family history, your race and ethnicity, your age. They're part of what makes you unique. Other risk factors are more changeable, your weight and blood pressure. Making changes in your lifestyle and health can reduce your risk for developing diabetes or help you live better with your diabetes for years to come. Diabetes Care Plan. One of the keys is to come up with a plan for managing your diabetes. Together with your healthcare provider, you'll formulate a plan for taking care of you and your diabetes. This is called a diabetes care plan. Your plan may include checking your blood glucose, eating well, exercising, taking medications, and monitoring complications. It is unique and needs to fit you and your lifestyle, your age, your family life, your work, your current health, and your priorities. You, the patient, are at the center of your diabetes care plan. You may work with your primary care physician or a number of different healthcare providers to come up with your plan. They could include a physician, nurse practitioner, physician assistant, pharmacist, diabetes educator, or dietitian. The most important person in your plan is you. You'll need to take an active role to make sure you come up with the best plan that works for both your diabetes and your life. Next up, the following chapters outline important aspects of a diabetes care plan, including checking and managing blood glucose, lowering your blood pressure and cholesterol, food, exercise, medications, and complications. Next up, checking and managing blood glucose. Chapter 2. Check and manage blood glucose. In this chapter, find out about one aspect of your diabetes care plan, checking and managing your blood glucose. Why is this important? Keeping your blood glucose on target will minimize your risk for complications such as eye, kidney, and nerve disease. It may also help your mind and body feel better on a day-to-day basis, and everyone could use a little more of that. What's inside? Checking blood glucose. A1C. Blood glucose meters. Continuous glucose monitors. Basics of self-monitoring. Hypoglycemia. Hyperglycemia. Sick days. Pregnancy. Checking blood glucose. Checking your blood glucose is one of the best ways to keep track of your diabetes care plan. You can use the readings on your own and with your healthcare provider to monitor how different activities and situations affect your body. For example, exercise, food, medications, stress, and sickness can all affect your blood glucose. Monitoring is the only way to measure how these specific things impact you. The two most common ways people check their blood glucose are an A1C test and a handheld meter. A1C. As mentioned in the last chapter, an A1C test is done in your healthcare provider's office or a laboratory using a sample of blood from your finger or vein. The A1C can be used to diagnose diabetes, and it can also be used to manage your existing diabetes. The test gives an average of your blood glucose over the past 2 to 3 months. It is a broad picture of how your diabetes care plan is working, and it can be an extremely useful tool for you and your healthcare provider. In general, many people with type 2 diabetes will aim for an A1C below 7, which has been shown to reduce the risk of eye, kidney, and nerve damage and heart disease. Some people may aim for a lower or higher A1C based on their age, how long they've had diabetes, and their general health. How often to test A1C? At least 2 times a year for people meeting goals and keeping blood glucose on target. 4 times a year for people making changes to their plan or not meeting goals. Blood glucose meters. A blood glucose meter allows you to check your blood glucose by yourself any time of the day. A meter displays your plasma glucose level, or the amount of glucose in your plasma, as milligrams per deciliter. noted as MG/DL. Unlike the broad picture of an A1C, a reading from your meter gives you a specific snapshot of your blood glucose in that moment. Meters come in many sizes and styles with cool features. In general, you'll use a lancet to prick your fingertip and draw a small amount of blood. Next, you'll put the blood sample onto a test strip and insert it into the meter. The meter then displays your blood glucose reading. Your readings, usually 100 or more, are stored in the meter until you download them to your computer or write them down in a logbook. Helpful meter features. Size. Large displays may help people with poor eyesight, while small devices slip into a purse or pocket more easily. Strip type. A preloaded drum of test strips may be easier to handle than individual strips. Bright lights, for nighttime or dim light. Audio. Spoken readings and prompts, ideal for those with vision problems. Size of blood drop. Smaller sizes are usually easier. Wireless Bluetooth capacity. Deliver results wirelessly to phone or computer. Memory. Some can store thousands of readings. Plasma versus whole blood glucose. Today, most meters measure plasma blood glucose. Years ago, meters used to display whole blood glucose. Plasma has more liquid and therefore more glucose, giving a higher percentage reading of glucose than whole blood. Whole blood is the liquid and the cells in the liquid. That's why today's blood glucose targets may appear higher than in previous decades. Meters and test strips. Each meter comes with its own set of instructions and guidelines for maintenance. Read these carefully and call the toll-free number or talk to your healthcare provider if you have questions. The chemical makeup of test strips varies slightly from batch to batch, so meters need to be calibrated to take these variations into account. Most meters calibrate themselves, which means that they reset themselves to ensure the most accurate reading. However, some meters may require that you calibrate for each new batch of test strips. Control solution helps ensure that you're getting the most accurate readings. The solution contains a known amount of glucose so that you can run a test to make sure your meter and strips are working properly. Your meter should come with control solution or ask your pharmacist. Test again if a reading is unexpectedly high or low, near the same site, and making sure to get enough blood on the test strip. Make sure that you use the recommended test strips for your meter. Using the wrong test strips could give you an incorrect reading. Test strips are vulnerable to temperatures, moisture, and sunlight, so try to take care of your supplies. After all, they're not cheap. Close up the package after it's opened and keep it out of extreme temperatures, like a backpack left in the sun or the glove compartment of your car on a freezing cold night. Note the expiration date on the package and be sure to throw away expired strips. If you're having problems or trying a new meter, bring it to your next healthcare appointment to make sure you're using it correctly. Meter tip. Wash hands with soap and water and dry completely. Keep in mind, alcohol wipes and hand sanitizers can affect readings. FDA regulation of meters. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration regulates blood glucose meters as medical devices. The FDA reviews the accuracy and consistency of meters before they can be marketed to consumers. The agency also relies on reports of problems from patients and healthcare providers to monitor the ongoing efficacy of devices once they're on shelves. If you suspect a problem with your meter or test strips, you can report it to FDA's MedWatch online or by calling 1-800-INFO-FDA. What is EAG? EAG is your estimated average glucose and is given in milligrams per deciliter, just like your meter. Your healthcare provider may test your EAG to help evaluate how your diabetes care plan is working. Continuous glucose monitors. A continuous glucose monitor is a device that you attach to your body to take blood glucose readings throughout the day and night. It consists of three parts: a sensor with a needle that you insert under your skin, a transmitter, and a receiver to display and store readings. Continuous glucose monitors, CGMs, help you visualize how your blood glucose is trending, up or down, rather than just a moment in time like a finger prick with a meter. CGMs also have programmable alerts that beep when your blood glucose gets dangerously low or high. Most people who use CGMs have type 1 diabetes. Some people with type 2 diabetes may find them helpful too. Basics of self-monitoring. Monitoring your blood glucose is all about gathering information that will help you take care of yourself. Your results may prompt you to eat a snack, exercise more or less, or discuss changes in your care with your provider. Monitoring may alert you to treat high or low blood glucose, and recording your results can help you and your healthcare team evaluate how different foods, exercise, and medications affect your blood glucose. Blood glucose goals. Blood glucose goals are the foundation of your diabetes care plan. Your goals are the target ranges that you'll want to keep your blood glucose on a daily or longer-term basis. Blood glucose goals can vary tremendously from person to person. Someone who is first diagnosed with type 2 diabetes may aim for a broad target over 3 months, while someone who has had type 2 diabetes for years may check their blood glucose 5 times a day. ADA recommendations for blood glucose levels. A1C, less than 7. Before meal, 80 to 130 milligrams per deciliter. Post-meal, 1 to 2 hours after beginning a meal, less than 180 milligrams per deciliter. Some patients may have different goals based on their age, how long they've had diabetes, other health conditions, or personal considerations. Keeping records. How you decide to record your blood glucose readings is up to you and your healthcare provider. You may find it helpful to write down each reading in a notebook or chart, or you may find it easier to export readings from your meter to a computer program like Excel or a website. You may do it every day or once a week. You might be taking 2 or 3 readings a day or many more. Record keeping is individual, but it is also essential for most people with diabetes. Visualizing how different activities and situations affect your blood glucose is the most important aspect of keeping records. Without records, you don't have solid data, just guesses. There are not good readings or bad readings. It is simply a way to measure what may or may not be working best for you as part of your diabetes care plan. New software and apps. New blood glucose apps, software, and websites are constantly being developed. Check out Diabetes Forecast Magazine's annual Consumer Guide, January issue, for the latest technology, or search iTunes for diabetes. Times to check. Talk to your healthcare provider about the times to check your blood glucose to get the most useful information. You may want to check before you eat breakfast and occasionally 2 hours after meals. People with type 2 diabetes who take insulin should check more often, and more specifics will be discussed in a later chapter on medications. Most common times to check. Before breakfast, 2 hours after breakfast. Before lunch, 2 hours after lunch. Before dinner, 2 hours after dinner, before bedtime. Some people may want to do more focused testing to evaluate how a particular activity, like using a stair climber for 30 minutes, affects their blood glucose. Focus testing involves taking a blood glucose reading right before and after the activity. More monitoring will give you more information about your blood glucose. However, if you...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?